I'm excited to continue. I want to begin with a verse that you know very well. In fact, if you can, I'll say it slowly, so if you know it, you want to just kind of chime in with me. It's one of the most famous psalms there is, and it's only verse one, but it goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. One more time, all together now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if the Lord is your shepherd, then you shall not want. You shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One more time, because we're speaking God's word tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. Who's shepherding your life? Who's watching over you? His name is the Lord. He created the heavens and the earth. He sees you, he sees what's going on, and he's way bigger than what's happening in our world today. And he says, I'm your shepherd, and therefore, you shall not want. That word want is not have desires. Like, I'll never want anything ever again. It's not the word. It's the word for lack. You'll never lack. You'll never not have what you need. Because I am your shepherd. This is the Psalm of David. David was a shepherd. He understood this picture that God calls himself Israel's shepherd. Jesus called himself the good shepherd. He understood this picture. A shepherd takes care of his sheep, and he takes care of their needs. And bigger than David being the shepherd, he understands what it means that God is his shepherd. And you guys love the rest of that psalm, am I right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Come on, all the things he does. But this message about being fearlessly generous, one of our eight competencies for discipleship as a church, is hinged around this understanding that it's the Lord who is taking care of me. Because if the Lord's taking care of me, I can take care of you. I don't have to fear being in want. So I can care for other people who have needs. And that's the principle behind being fearlessly generous. Times of plenty and times of scarcity come and go. How many of you have ever felt a time of plenty in your life? You just had a little extra. It was pretty cool. How many of you have felt times of scarcity when you didn't see where it was going to come from? It is common to the human experience for every one of us, and it doesn't mean that God loves us more or that God loves us less. It is a part of the journey of walking with God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on, don't forget. Distance here. Speaking up is a good thing. It helps me. Fearlessly generous means these phrases are true, and I believe them. I'm walking in them. That God takes care of me so I can take care of others. It means I cannot outgive God. Sometimes we think we can. When he says, hey, listen, I want you to take care of that person. You go, oh, but God, I only have this much. If I do that, then I won't have. And you got to wonder what God thinks sometimes. Like, really? You don't think I can take care of you? Like, you think you can outgive me? Like, if I ask you to do this, that somehow you're not going to have what you need? Come on now. It means there's no lack in the kingdom of God. If you want to do a study in the scriptures, look up the term lack and understand how from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 16, when he's leading them out of Egypt, and he takes them into the wilderness, like from the very beginning, he taught them, I will take care of your daily needs. And it says in the middle of the wilderness, there was no lack because God took care of their needs. This study from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament is a powerful picture of what it means that the kingdom of God is at hand. The presence and provision of God's kingdom is right here on this earth in your life because the Lord is your shepherd. Therefore, you shall not lack. This is the truth that he wants us to get deep in our spirit. Fearlessly generous means I've been blessed to be a blessing. Fearlessly generous means I'm a steward of God's resource. I'm a wonderful, awesome pass-through. I can take care of people. God can pass resource through me to touch the lives of people around me, to care for those in my community, to care for those around the world, to care for our friends in Kenya right now, to care for our friends, our missionary partners around the world. God can pass through me because I recognize he's my shepherd. I'm not going to lack. So how do you want me to care for others? This is how God takes care of people and others in the world today. So open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We will look at a story that's captured in all four Gospels. Little details are nuanced, so you can see it from different angles in the different Gospels. Mark chapter 6, the famous story, the feeding of the 5,000, is a picture of the reality of the kingdom of God being at hand. What does it mean for you and for me that the Lord is my shepherd, that I'm not going to be in lack or in want? This is a picture, one of the many, where this takes place. I want to talk about being tested by scarcity because I think we all relate to that. I want to talk about trusting your shepherd. I want to talk about being taught how to partner with God. And lastly, that there's no lack in the kingdom. Those four principles out of this story here in Mark chapter 6. We'll pick it up in verse 30 as we begin talking about how all of us get tested by scarcity. It's scary. It's scary when the resources run low. True? Especially when you can't see where it's going to come from. It's scary. If you've ever been scared by that, you're normal, you're human, you're alive and breathing. But this is where God gets to be God, and we get to actually trust that he can take care of us. This is where this happens. Verse 30, it says this: the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. Say desolate place. And rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place, say desolate place, by themselves. Yes, see, they get it. I love it. A desolate place, desolation, a place without resource, a place where there isn't provision. It's desolate. There aren't people and there isn't stuff. And this is the backdrop of this story and why the story is so amazing, but it's the backdrop of our reality. And for a lot of us right now in this season, it's the backdrop of the emotions and the things that you are trying to process in the midst of seeing your resources dry up. Am I right? For so many in this COVID season, how many of you, from the very beginning of this season, we saw toilet paper resources dry up and we experienced scarcity of toilet paper. Then as it got going a little longer, we started to experience scarcity of financial resources. And then as the stock market crashed, a lot of you looked at retirement and you saw your retirement dissolving, diminishing, becoming scarce. It's a scary season when these things begin to happen. And for a world that doesn't know God, it's not walking with him as their shepherd. They don't know what it's like for the kingdom of God, his presence and provision to be a part of their life. It should be so stinking scary. But for the people of God to recognize that you actually have God in your life, that he said, I'll be your shepherd so you don't have to lack, to now be faced with the reality of, do I walk in this? Do I experience the kingdom of God? Do I believe for the kingdom of God or do I not? This is where the Christian life gets real. That's why we call this discipleship. These principles are core. They test us to our core to say, do I really believe this? Is it about knowing the right things or is it about trusting God at his word and living out the life he's offered us? Are you with me? That's discipleship. That's Christianity. And this is where this gets tested. Three different times in this short little passage, It's going to actually say a desolate place. Three times in Scripture, as you know, means emphasis. Recognize this. It is a point. It is a highlight marker in your Bible to say, don't miss the fact that it was desolate. The miracle that's about to come came at a place where when they looked around, they could not see where it would come from. Like when you look into your checkbook and you recognize you've got to pay property tax and you say, I don't know where it's going to come from. Anybody been there? I don't know. I don't see it. I don't understand how these things are going to take place. I don't know how this business is going to succeed and get passed from this spot to that. I don't know where it's going to come from. I cannot see it. And if you've ever experienced that, and if you're experiencing it right now, which many of us are, many of you are, this is the place where we say, do I believe? Can I stand on this promise? The Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, if there's anything I know with all the things I don't know, is I will not lack. Somewhere, somehow, the Lord has promised to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. And that is huge. It's huge to the soul, how you process the moments, how you walk it out. Obviously, the stress that it can or won't provide in your life to be able to know that God is going to take care of you. How are you being tested in that right now? Remember, I said the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Let's continue reading because we're going to find what it means to trust in your shepherd. How does he feel about you? It says in verse 33, now many of them saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot. So they're on the boat. They're trying to get away from the crowds. They don't have time even to eat. This is what it said. We're fried. We've been doing ministry. We're tired. We're excited, but we're tired. And Jesus said, come away with me. We're going to get away from the crowds for a little bit. They get in the boat, and people are watching them from the shore in the boat, and they're running around the Sea of Galilee to get to where the boat is going to land from all the towns. And this is what's happening. And then they land there. So many of them saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. Now, he was trying to get away from the crowd. He saw a great crowd. Now, I don't know about you, but you and me, probably our feelings would be like, crap. I try to get away from all you people. And here you are. You and I be like, I'm tired. I'm spent. I got nothing more for you. And that's why it's a good thing, right? That we're not the world's shepherd. That the Lord is our shepherd. Amen? Because his response is totally different. Sometimes we think God is annoyed with us. He's tired of us. You're always asking me. Listen to how he sees us. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And guess what he was? The good shepherd. John 10, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord's my shepherd, guess what, guys? I'm not going to lack. He's going to take care of my provision. He's going to provide for me. And this is how he sees them. And it says, he had compassion on them, and he saw them like a shepherd would see them, like sheep without a shepherd. It says he taught them, and Luke tells us in his gospel that what he taught them was the kingdom of God is at hand. He began to teach them what it means that the presence and power of God is available to you right here, right now, on this normal earth, with all of its limitations. I'm present with you. He taught them about the kingdom of God, that it's at hand, that it's right now, that I'm here. And so all the provision that you're going to need is here with me. And he taught them about those things. They were seeking first the kingdom of God, just like Jesus taught in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, when he taught on the kingdom, and he said, the kingdom is now. Let me tell you about the kingdom. You've heard it said, but I say, this is how things operate. I'm here. And he said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, these provisions that you need, all these things will be added to you. I'm teaching you a different way of living. People chase it. They run around. They get tired. They get anxious. They're searching, trying to provide all their needs, take care of all these things. And he says, listen, sufficient for the day is all you need. A lifestyle of God, you've got me today. He says, if you doubt that, look around you. God takes care of the smallest details in nature. Look at the grass. Look at the flower. Look at the bird. Do you understand? He takes care of those things, and those things are meaningless. You are the apple of his eye. How much more, Jesus said, will he not take care of you? Look around. How much more will he not take care of you? Those that he loves, that he cares about, that he sees as family. God will take care of you. So the spirituality I'm inviting you into, my easy yoke of a life with me, is let me take care of you each day. Tomorrow's got enough issues. Don't worry about it. Worry about today. Walk with me today. And that's what he taught him. Walk with me today. That is the way of the kingdom. You can trust God for today. I don't know about tomorrow, but when you get into tomorrow, he says, listen, you can take care. Trust me for tomorrow when we get there. Whatever you need for tomorrow, I'll be in tomorrow. I'll be with you there. One day at a time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is it easy or difficult for you to believe that you actually have Almighty God shepherding your life? How does it feel? Is it something that it's like intellectually there, but emotionally, I don't get it. I don't feel it. Is it a reality of your life? Here they are in a desolate place, and they're about to experience what it means that the shepherd is the Lord, and that his kingdom is going to take care of their lack. So he teaches the disciples. He's about to do this amazing thing and care for the lack, but he teaches them that the way he cares for people, the way he takes care of others, is through a partnership with us. He's about to do something amazing in the middle of a desolate place. He's about to feed 5,000 men plus women plus children. He's about to take care of all of that with literally nothing. But before he does, he teaches all of us that the way his kingdom operates is in a partnership with us. So they come to him. The disciples do. Verse 35. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. Say desolate place. And the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. You do it. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread? That's like 8 months worth of wages. That's how much it's going to take. That's not even going to give everybody a little bite, one of the gospels says. But should we do that? Like 8 months worth of wages? I mean, we don't even have it. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said what? How many loaves? 5 loaves and how many fish? 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, Jesus is the provision. He's going to do it. But he teaches his disciples then, now, and us today, that the way that he cares for his world, the way his kingdom advances in our, is through a partnership with his disciples. So he tells them, you guys go and solve the problem. They say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to take care of it? Well, all we got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's like, what do you have? What do you have? That's all. What do you have? We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then one of the Gospels, you know, has a little extra commentary. But what will it do among so many? Right? That's probably Peter. I have to look it up again. But what will it do? I mean, how far will this go? I mean, I'm going to give you what I got, but I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. This isn't going to do anything. Tell the people to sit down. He partners with us. That's how the kingdom advances. He partners with you and I. God invites us to partner with him in caring for other people. God chooses that route. Multiplication is what's going to take place here. With 5 loaves and 2 fish, they're going to do way more than they should. They're going to stretch way farther than they should. Like really cheap Kool-Aid, right? It's real strong. I got to get a lot of people, just add water. Like it'll at least be red. You know, it's not going to taste very good. At least it's red. It's not even that kind of multiplication. This is like real multiplication. Something's about to take place. Listen, whatever is offered to God can be blessed and multiplied. That is a principle of the kingdom. Whatever you and I bring, it doesn't matter how much. God, I've only got a little resource. I don't need your lots. Just, what do you have? There's a need. There's a solve. There's lack. My kingdom, there's no lack. Let's take care of this. I want you to help. But what can I do? I don't have much. Just give me what you got. I got this. Great. That is enough. That is enough. That's all I need, because what I can do is with what you offer me, I can bless it and I can multiply it. I can multiply. And that's what he does. He blessed it and he multiplied it and then he gave it out. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. It is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. When you talk about being fearlessly generous, this proverb, whoever is generous to the poor gives God a loan. Just get the picture for a minute. Generous to the poor lends to the Lord. The question is always, when you're lending out money, are they good for it? Right? Are they good for it? Am I going to ever see this again? We cannot ever outgive God. There are stories. I've shared them with you too many times to keep telling them. But there's so many stories in our life where you go, God, you asked something of me, and I thought, that's kind of a sacrifice. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what? Double, triple. I can't outgive you. I'm sorry that I doubt every single time. I'm sorry that I get afraid every single time. I want to be fearlessly generous. I want to live out this kingdom reality. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him. Say, will repay. He doesn't say he might repay. When he gets a little from somebody else and he gets it in from the other side, when he gets the return on that other investment, then he's going to repay you. Listen, God is always good for it, because he's God and there's no lack in his kingdom. So God has invited us to partner with him to meet the needs of other people. And then lastly, so he tells them, all right, what do you got? I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Great. That's all we need. You can imagine how crazy everybody thought Jesus was in that moment. I don't know if it's easy for you to imagine a crowd of 5,000, 10,000 people. I don't know if that's easy to imagine or if that's hard to imagine, just trying to get your picture. It's a lot of people. They got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's great. Tell them to sit down in groups of 50 and 100. Let's read. Like, what are they even thinking sitting down in groups of 50 and 100? In anticipation. For what? If you're like me, you're watching the bread going, that's not going to get to me. Like, there's no way it's going to get to us. Like, honey, we should probably start walking now, because probably those 12 disciples are going to eat it all. That's about all that's going to get a taste of any of this. So this is what we find. He commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups on the down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked to heaven and said a blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. Say satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. There was no lack. They all ate. Not just the disciples ate. All of them ate. And they were all satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. That means plus women, plus children. They had just counted the men in that count. All of these folks got fed with five loaves and two fish. There's no lack in the kingdom. And Jesus was teaching them about the kingdom of God. The reality is, I'm your shepherd. There's not going to be a lack. The reality is, I'm here now. So what is true about my resource, who I am, is present and available to you today. But every one of us gets tested just like they got tested. Listen, 40 years in the wilderness, he took them through and he fed them with manna and meat over probably 2 million plus people in the middle of nowhere. A desolate place, a wilderness where there was scarcity. He took care of them every day. He gave them water from a rock that satisfied all of their thirst plus all of their livestock. God says, I'm able to do this. You look around. If you want to live like the world, you'll never learn to trust that I actually am God. That I am your shepherd. And because I'm your shepherd, you're not going to lack. Will you learn to trust me? I mean, you could just see him in the wilderness with them for 40 years, pulling out his godly hair. You know, it's like, come on, people. All this time, I'm just trying to teach you. I got you. I got to bring you 40 years to teach you that lesson. Until they finally got it. I don't know how long it's going to take us. I don't know how long it took me. I just know this reality is what is the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom of God, that God is present to help us in our everyday life now, is only good news if you start to live it out. So when the anxieties and the fears and the concerns and your peace is robbed and your joy is taken away because of lack, because of scarcity, when you're not fearlessly generous, you're fearfully hoarding, right? Like the toilet paper, remember? When we're fearfully hoarding because we don't know what's coming next, when our anxiety levels are through the roof because we don't know how the bills will get paid, and we are ourselves a mess. The world looks at the church and they go, they're no different. They're no better. There's nothing different about their God than whoever I don't follow. No difference. But the opportunity to shine like lights in our world today is to walk with God and trust that he is who he said he is. He'll do what he said he'll do. And so we have to then encourage our soul in the word. Now, I've taught on the soul in the past. This is where all of our issues are, by the way. The soul is the communication center. You're our spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. But the soul is where all of our inputs, everything happening, they pass through the soul. It's our intellect, our emotions, and our will. Our intellect, emotions, and will. And God has helped us. By the way, a lot of us operate different areas, but if you're in times of scarcity, ask yourself, where am I most a wreck? Is it with my thought life? Is it in my head? Like it's spinning. I'm trying to solve it. I'm trying to do this, that. I think through all these scenarios. I'm not getting anywhere. I have no peace. I can't rest in my mind. In the intellect, he gives us his word. And so we preach to those thoughts with the word of God. You have access to it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So those who are swirling up here, You go to the Word. What about the emotions? No, my issue's not in here. I know the truth, but man, I got anxiety. My emotions are all over the place. Depression or whatever. I'm all over the map emotionally. I'm a wreck. Great. Because for our emotions, He gives us worship. He gives us praise. And praise cuts through it all. We go right back. We put on the praise music. We go right into His presence and we begin to praise. We sing the songs of praise and it cuts through all the stuff and begins to minister to our emotions. But what about the will? Yeah, I know, right? I know what the Bible says emotionally. It's not really, it's the fact that I know what to do and I don't want to do it. My will is not at all in alignment with God's. What do we have? We have prayer. We have prayer. Jesus in the garden, He went before the Father in prayer. Not as I will, but as You will. If there's any other way, not my will, but Your will be done. Prayer is how our will gets back into alignment with God. So if you know what to do and you don't want to do it, you go right to prayer. God, I recognize You and I are not on the same page. I want to step in this page with You, but I want to. And that's where our will. And Jesus, hey, He prayed for 3 hours to get His will aligned with the Father's because of what was coming. But once it was aligned, they could run. Same with us. This is why we have prayer. It's to align us with God, with His thoughts, with His heart, with His will, and bring our will back. So your intellect, you've got the Word of God to bring it back, to preach faith, to bring it back around. Your emotions, you've got praise. Put on the praise music for crying out loud. Don't hold back. Get yourself a place where you can sing out loud if you've got to. Go in your room. Wherever you got to go, get that praise going. Or if it's a will issue, I don't want to do it. Whatever it is. God, I'm going to come before You in prayer. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Until my will gets aligned with Yours, I'm just going to keep coming. I want what You want for my life. He's given us the resource that we need to keep walking in this kingdom reality with Him, but we have to choose it. We've got to choose it. We've got to choose. That's what I want, Lord. I want to trust You at Your word. I want to walk with You that way. I want to let You minister to me. Amen? Fearlessly generous is just simply, God, I can trust You with these things to be a blessing to others. It's what I need, that's His provision, and then some, so I have something to share. He's always, and then some, so we got something to share. Are you with me? Because that's how He takes care of people. And it's a privilege when you get to take care of others, isn't it? When you get to meet needs and solve, like help people through points of lack, that's how He cares. And by the way, it ties hearts together. That's what Paul was doing when he was taking an offering in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, taking an offering from the Corinthian church to care for the needs of the church in Jerusalem, and he's pulling that together. You give your best teaching on the doctrinal truths of giving in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. You can go there anytime you want to just, I want to understand these principles. All these kingdom principles are right here. But he says the best thing is it's going to tie your hearts together as churches. To care for one another. And I love that part when we get to care for each other. Let me pray for you because I know it's a big issue for lots of us, especially in this season. And God wants to minister to us, build our faith, walk with us, give us confidence again. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your word. The Lord, You are our shepherd. And because You're our shepherd, we will not want. We will not lack. You will take care of us. So God, where we get challenged in this, where our fears and anxieties rise up, where we begin to look at with scarcity and with a little sense of like, protect my own, because we don't know where it's coming from or where how it's going to happen. Instead of just saying, God, I'm Your resource. I want to be a blessing. Would You bless me to be a blessing? I can trust You with my stuff. I can trust You to take care of me so I can take care of others. God, it's a privilege to walk with You in Your kingdom right now. Our world needs to experience Your kingdom. They need to experience Your love. these good deeds. They need to experience the church reaching out in love. They need to experience us with a non-anxious presence, full of love and generous hearts. That's what they need. And so we bring that today in Jesus' name. Would you help us here in these areas? We pray. Amen. Amen.